So I need three adult volunteers. Can I get three? You're going to come up here. It won't last long, I promise. Three adult volunteers. I just need three. Don't everybody come all at once. There's one right there. I need two more. Join this mountain biker. There we go. There's my three. Thank you so much. Right here, and right here. You're good. Perfect. Face them, because I ain't nobody. Nobody need to see me. Y'all don't need to see me. All right, so here we go. We're going to ask here, who is more spiritual? Let's do that. You ready? Let's find out who's more spiritual. You may just want to think it, because you're going to have to face them later. Like, they're going to be at the chili cook-off, and it might get awkward if you said, no, they're totally carnal, man. They're sinner. I don't even know. Like, I'm surprised roof didn't fall in when they showed up. So you may just want to think it, but let me just ask you. All right, so right here we got contestant number one, and she is at home drinking a glass of wine. Drinking a glass of wine, listening to some classic rock, because she looks like a rocker, right? And maybe a little Bruno Mars, a little 14 karat magic or whatever that is. Yeah. All right, is she spiritual? Now, she would never drink right here. Contestant number two, never drink, would never even think about it. She's watching The Chosen with her family, which is a Christian show. And man, they just hanging out. Is she more spiritual? Or we got contestant number three, and he's deep in Bible study all at the same time. I mean, he's reading through the script. Who do you figure is more spiritual in that moment? Who's more spiritual just as a Christian? Oh, let's go further with it. Let's take it one more way. Donna over here is smoking a stogie around a fire pit with friends, because she looks like that, right? Don't you figure she would do that? She's hanging out. Oh, yeah, around a fire pit, drinking her wine. I think she's switched to PBR by now, right? And just smoking. She's doing it. Yeah. Eva's just sitting with Christian friends at a coffee shop. They're talking about a lot of stuff, as well as Jesus and life. And Eve would never let alcohol pass through her lips ever, unlike Donna, of course. Right? Zach, he has moved on from Bible study, just having a time of prayer. Who's the more spiritual person, just overall in life? Don't answer, just think about it. Who's more spiritual? Oh, I hate this one, because I put it in the slides. I didn't know who was going to come up. Oh, I hate this one. I hate this one. Who's more spiritual? She would never say this, so Donna, I love you, please forgive me. She's wearing a mask because she's showing her love for her neighbor. With the implication being that if you don't wear a mask, you don't love your neighbor. Now, she would never do that to us. I'm so sorry. Okay. First I got her drinking and rocking and smoking. Now I got her looking down on you because she's wearing a mask. This is not a good day at Layman. We're going to lose Donna. Eve is at Walmart shopping without a mask. Apparently, she don't love her neighbor. And Zach is staying home to show his love for his neighbor. Who's more spiritual? Yeah. We're talking about gray areas. Thank you guys so much. Have a seat. Thank you. Give them a hand, because they were really good sports. Thank you, guys. I don't know what we've done to Donna. She used to be so nice. We've corrupted Donna. Yeah. Here's the thing, and I need to make sure that we catch this, and you may or may not agree from the get, but listen, everything we just talked about, everything, every single one of those are gray areas. Now, if that kind of gives you like a little twitch in your eye because you grew up hearing it's all black and white and there is no gray, there are areas that are gray. The scriptures give principles, but I can't find the command in the scripture that says you must study the Bible 24/7 like Zach, and you can't be smoking a stogie and drinking a glass of wine around a fire pit. I can't find that. You may find that, but what the best you can find probably is a spiritual principle about your body, and that's taken out of context. And I just tell you, 1 Corinthians 6 says your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It actually says in that context, the only way to sin against your body as a temple is sexual immorality. All other sins, it says, are outside the body. So you can find some scriptural principles, but you're not going to find a yes or no in these things. And so I just want to start from the outside, from the outset. Let's think about these things, and I want to give you three terms because I need to do some teaching before we jump into Romans 14, which will deal with weaker brother and convictional brother and So let me give you three turns that you need to know today. Weaker brother, professional weaker brother, and convictional Christian. Weaker brother, and I want to define these things for you. You've heard about weaker brother. Let me find out. I need to know, because some of us are really churched and some of us, we're still kind of new to this. How many of you have heard the term weaker brother? You've heard the term? A couple of you? A few of you? If you've been in church, you probably have heard it at some point. You've probably heard it in the context of, you better not do that because you're going to cause the weaker brother to stumble. What if somebody sees you and they fall? You've probably heard it. I did, because I came to know Christ in a fundamentalist, very legalistic, rules-oriented church. Very much so. King James is the only Bible, brother. Don't go to a movie theater to see an R-rated movie. We know you never would because you're Christian. Obviously, you wouldn't. Really? I would have missed out on The Matrix, you sack. Obviously, you wouldn't. But if you go to a theater that shows R-rated movies, somebody who saw you in church, and maybe they were a visitor, didn't know Jesus, saw you go in, they may think you're seeing the R-rated movie, and they walk away and never come back to church because you're a hypocrite, and they died and went to hell because you had to go to a movie theater. That kind of twisted logic is what I came to know Christ in. Thank God I came to know Christ. But that kind of logic has nothing to do with the faith. Here is what a true weaker brother is according to the scriptures. A weaker brother is someone who is untaught. What I mean is they don't know the freedom they have in Christ. And so they've just been told that these things are wrong and these things are right. And so they don't have convictions. They don't know. And this person, brother or sister, can be tempted to do what they believe is sin and therefore are subject to falling because whatever is not from faith is sin. Here's what I mean, and Romans will teach this today. If I think it is wrong, to do something, let's say I think it is wrong to drink caffeine. Let's just use a dumb one, right? Because it's against the temple. Now, it's not, but I think it is, and I do it. I've done what I thought was wrong, and therefore I've fallen into sin, according to Romans 14, which is where we go today. This is an untaught brother. This is not a struggling brother. This is someone who doesn't know. Struggling is different. This person can be tempted to fall because whatever is not from faith is sin, even if the action isn't sin. And so maybe they think you can only listen to Christian music, and they're tempted to listen to Christian or to listen to classic rock, which, by the way, if you're going to be tempted, that's a great temptation. Go that direction. Don't go country. If you're going to sin, sin for a good reason. But I'm just saying, choose Foreigner. That's hot-blooded. That's good. Okay, let me go further. Professional weaker brother. This is the original Ken and Karen of the church world. Oh, yes, they were around before we had those terms. The original, let me speak to your manager, of the church world. They hate freedom in Christ, and they live to steal it. We call them legalists. They're very rules-oriented, and their favorite methods of controlling others, because they are righteous, and if you would follow their convictions, you would be righteous in these gray areas. And so their favorite methods are what-if scenarios. What if somebody sees you listening to that music, and you cause them to sin because they don't know that they can? What if somebody saw you with a glass of wine in your hand, and they're tempted to drink, and they fall? That's professional weaker brother. They're not going to fall. They just don't like you doing it, so they want to steal your freedom. They will use verses out of context. See if you know this one. Avoid the appearance of what?
Evil.
Yeah! They call it the sin sniffers catch-all verse. Literally, Google this. The sin sniffers catch-all verse, and you will find this verse. And it's a verse out of context. Literally, that verse means avoid the appearing of evil teaching, which is ironic because they're using the verse incorrectly. And the latest one we've heard, and this will step on some toes maybe. Well, I'm loving my neighbor by wearing a mask. In other words, if you don't wear the mask, you're not loving your neighbor. I'm loving my neighbor by staying home. If you don't stay home, you're not loving your neighbor, and you're not as spiritual and holy as I am. I'm loving my neighbor by getting vaccinated. I'm loving whatever it is. Do you catch the guilt and manipulation in this? If you have to guilt and manipulate people to do what's right, it's not godly. In fact, let me use the word that we used in the ninth, it's demonic. God doesn't do that to us. He doesn't guilt and manipulate. And if I stepped on your toes and you're never going to see me again, God bless you, we love you, go your way. Because it's wrong to do those things. This is worth repeating. The professional weaker brother or sister hate the freedom that others have, and they live to steal that freedom. They're unwilling to be taught. They think they already know it all. The weaker, professional weaker brother cannot be taught. They're self-appointed destroyers of freedom. They see themselves as more spiritual than everyone else. These are the ones Christ yelled at. Jesus, do you know you offended the Pharisees when you... And he says, let them alone. They're blind guides. We're not even going to bother. We can't teach them. They're not willing to learn. Now, if you can teach a legalist, sure, try to help them. But quite often, peace is achieved by you go your way and I'm going to go mine. Convictional Christian, this is where you want to stand. A convictional Christian knows the freedom they have. They're a mature Christ follower. They understand it, and they live by conviction in debatable areas. I need to say this. You need to hear this. Listen, freedom means freedom to do and freedom to abstain from doing. Both of those are freedom. For some of you in here, you can have a glass of wine, and you can praise God with it. For some of you in here, you cannot have that glass of wine, and I know this because I know you, because if you have one, one is too many, and 1,000 is never enough, and that's not a freedom you have, right? Freedom is freedom to do and to abstain from doing. You may or may not listen to certain music. You may or may not drink. You may or may not whatever the freedom area is. That's a convictional Christian. In the church world, we always hear this. You better not make the weaker brother stumble. And that's all we ever hear. We only hear it in one direction. And then Romans 14 enters in. And God's going to talk to the weaker brother as well as the convictional Christian. Oh, and the professional weaker brother. And all of this, again, is in the context of debatable matters. These are not specific commands. Everything I mentioned, you cannot find a specific command. You can find a principle that may apply. Not a command. I haven't found the command that says thou shalt not listen to foreigner. Thou shalt not listen to bad company. I think thou shalt turn that one up. Not specific commands, but the application of principles. And in Paul's time, here's what they were dealing with. These were very religious things. They were dealing with demonic or unclean food. They were dealing with polluted wine and Sabbath days, and all three will come up. So let me explain. There was meat that was offered to idols in ritual ceremonies. And so it would then be sold in the marketplace, and Christians would buy this, take it home, and they would eat this meat, and there was the belief that in doing so, you were taking demons into your body, or it wasn't kosher, and some of the early Christians were still thinking, hey, we got to follow the Jewish kosher rules. They didn't know that they were free, and even though Jesus had made sure they understood, the scriptures had made sure that they should understand, they thought they still had to follow kosher rules. They didn't know they could have pork barbecue. They did not know that. That is sad. We should cry for them. They thought maybe that wine wasn't kosher. It was polluted. There were some who were still following Sabbath days. And so these were the things that they're dealing with in time of Paul. So all of that is teaching to get us to where we need to go. Debatable issues. And here's the big idea. Debatable issues cease to be worthy of debate when Christ is our focus and our King is honored. Here's what Paul's going to seek today. Get along with one another. Respect the differences. Teach the untaught. Don't leave them weaker. But you guys don't need to be arguing about these things. Respect others' freedom. Christ died to set you free. Respect that freedom. Let's read Romans 14:1. Let's start there. Seems like a good place. As for the one who is weak in faith, this is weaker brother, hasn't been taught, welcome him, welcome her, but not to quarrel over opinions. They're untaught. You don't need to welcome them just so you can fight over whether you can or you can't or you must not. They don't know the freedom they have concerning current traditions. These are opinion areas. Again, it says not to quarrel over opinions. There are debatable areas. He just told you that there are gray areas. And so let's talk commands versus convictions. Let's make sure we understand. Commands are non-negotiable. Do you know there will never be a time you need to pray about whether or not you commit adultery? There will never be a, you know, he seems kind of cute. Well, she seems into me, and I've been married a long time. Lord, what should I do? There will never be a time you need to pray about that. There will never be a time you need to pray about whether or not you steal something from Walmart. Well, you know, I've heard that I can take up to $500 and they won't chase me out of the, you don't need to, don't do it. That's pretty simple, right? There will never be a time you need to pray about whether or not you lie to your kids. Ooh, did I step on some toes? I hope so. Fun for me. My kid's raised. There will never be a time where you, Lord, should I lie to them? It'll help with their behavior. No, don't lie. Oh, but that's going to be hard. Yeah, you don't answer everything, but don't lie. Commands are non-negotiable. There is no wiggle room. Commands are commands. Put off lying and speak truth, each one of you to your neighbor. That's Ephesians 4. Convictions are, or the application of biblical principles of gray areas. The Bible doesn't say what kind of music you can listen to. And listen, I can, just the way I'm wired, I connect everything with music. I'm just meant to go that direction. And it doesn't trigger something in me. It doesn't make me want to go back to drugs. I'm not looking to, it doesn't do that for me. It's just good. I remember as I listen, it brings back all these amazing times. And it's just good. I know people that the same music I listen to, you've told me that if you listen to it, it triggers something in you and makes you want to go back to some things, and so it's not a freedom you have. We're different. We apply the principles. Does it stoke my desire for Christ? Can I glorify Him in that, or can I not? I get to make that decision for me, and you get to for you. It will differ for different people. So in commands, like I said, those things, you don't have to pray about them. Just do what the Lord says. In convictions, let's do this. My two friends that I work with are getting married, and it ain't husband and wife. Do I go to the wedding or not? Some of you think it's cut and dried. Well, that's it. You don't go, I don't want to be given my, they didn't ask for your approval. Is it more loving for you to go? They know where you stand. They know you love Jesus. Maybe you go and you just, man, I'm just there. I love you guys. And I want. Maybe you say, yeah, but Lord, I've prayed it through, and I just don't think I can go, but I want to let them know I love you anyway, and I'll be praying for you guys. That's not a cut and dried. If you're going to separate yourself from everybody who sins differently than you, definitely stay at home. Right? These are not cut and dried issues, and this is hard. And if you go, how dare I judge you for going? If you don't go, how dare I judge you for not going? You get to make your own decisions because the Bible doesn't say whether or not you go. Now, don't do the thing, but the Bible doesn't say whether or not you go. Do I bake the cake? And I used to say I would bake the cake, the cake for the gay wedding. I used to say I would do that. And then I read more about it, and they wanted him to write certain things on there, and the two grooms, and they wanted him to show up and to be part of the thing, and that's where his line was, and I need to respect his line. Do you bake it? Do you not? You got to pray that thing through yourself. It's not easy. There is no Exodus 3:1, thou shalt bake a cake. It's not found. Do you support a particular business or do you withhold support? I'm not talking about canceling. I'm saying you convictionally. You get to pray through that. On social media, do you post about culture and politics? Do you not post? Because I've been on both sides of the issue. You get to make your own decisions. These are convictional issues. They're not easy. We're in a culture where it was no mask because it won't help, to you must wear a mask, to now you need double mask. I really think we're being punked by Fauci, I'll just tell you. I think he's just laughing at us. I'm just joking. Whether you wear the mask or not, because my understanding is we have a constitution. This goes back to, we talked about government. So do you follow the constitution as a mandate, the law? If it's a governor mandate, this gets hard. I'm going to respect the differences. In here, we do. Don't turn the camera around. But we do, right? In here, we respect the differences. These things are not easy. You don't need to pray about whether or not to follow commands. If you love Jesus, you follow his commands. The Bible says this is love for God, that you keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. You got to make your own decisions. But you follow the commands. You must pray about and you must seek God about convictional issues. And here's why it's important. Because if I never take the time, if I just adopt what my preacher's convictions are or my Bible teacher or my Christian friend, if I adopt their convictions and make them mine, I short-circuit the process of praying about them, laying them before the Lord and following him, and that's where maturity comes from. Does that make sense? We've gotten deep and we've gotten really strong early on. We need to jump back into the scriptures. I will say this. Maturity comes from learning to discern good from evil. Let's go forward. As for the one who's weak in faith, welcome him not to argue over or quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything. I can eat the meat. You set meat before me. I'm going to eat pot roast? Yeah, let's do it. While another doesn't know whether or not that meat was sacrificed to an idol, and so he's only eating vegetables. In context, one is weak. He doesn't know he has freedom. That's the context we're talking about. The other is convictional. He knows he has freedom, has decided I'll eat whatever's set before me because meat's just meat. Do you look down on the weak? Do you look down on the untaught? Do you look down on those who don't know? Let not the one who eats, this is the freedom, the convictional brother or sister, let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. Let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. And again, if you've been in churches like I have, you've only heard it one way. Don't offend the weaker brother. Don't offend the weaker brother. Check it out. Here's what he just said. The one who is weak in faith needs to grow. Don't despise. Literally, don't count him as nothing. Don't look down your nose at the one who doesn't have a beer with you. Don't look down your nose at the one who says, I can't listen to that kind of music. Could you turn the radio off when we're together because it takes me back to those days? Don't look down on him. Don't you dare. But listen, it also says this to the one who eats and knows the truth. Don't pass judgment on him. If you're the weaker, don't you pass judgment on the one who has freedom. He's actually talking to the weaker brother. You're with somebody and you know that they can have a beer and you can't. They can listen to that music and you can't. You don't get to pass judgment. You're not God. He's telling the weaker brother, you need to back off as well. Both of them. Who are you to pass judgment? Now he's talking to the weaker, because that was the language that was used. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? To the abstainer, to the weaker brother, and the professional weaker brother, the legalist. Don't compare to and don't count yourself better. You don't get to pass judgment on him. It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. And in that moment, listen, in that moment, that slippery slope dies. You know, I had a family member who thought they could just have a glass of wine. Turned out to be an alcoholic, died. That slippery slope dies in that moment. It is to his own master that he stands or falls, and if he is doing it to the Lord's glory, and he is prayed about, and he's convictional, God will make him stand. You don't get to use a slippery slope argument. Remember the whole rock is evil thing? Do you guys remember that? The beaten rock music, the Peters Brothers. You're going to listen to Journey, and before you know it, you're going to be worshiping the devil, smoking all that dope, because Journey is evil. That slippery slope argument. If you bake that wedding cake, if you go to that wedding, before you know it, you'll be gay married too. I don't think it works that way. If you have that glass, that dies. The Lord is able to make him stand. If you don't wear two masks and stay home, you're not loving your neighbor. You're killing people. That's guilt and that is manipulation. It has nothing to do with the faith. And if you wear a mask everywhere you go, if you wear five masks, God bless you. I respect you. If you choose not to, God bless you. I respect you. And we've lost that as we've become tribalistic within the faith. And Romans 14 takes us back and says, you don't get to play judge over others. You don't get to say, I'm more righteous because I stayed home. You say, I think I will. I've prayed it through. Good, that's conviction. Do that. One person esteems one day as better than another. This is Sabbath keeping. Another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Do you see the tension there? Sabbath is debatable. I've decided I'm not going to work. I'm not going to buy and sell Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown. Okay, nothing wrong with that. The version we have today is I've decided I'm going to have a Sabbath day once a week where I don't work. Nothing wrong with that. That's a good balance. You know what it isn't? A rule, a law. It's not. I know you want it to be, some of us, because we're so religious. It's not. There's a tension there. Do you send your kids to private school? Maybe. Maybe you don't. Maybe you homeschool. You know what? That's your choice. You get to make that decision. Do you vaccinate because God bless my son, my daughter, they need to be, and I'm going to vaccinate myself, and I'm going to, do you vax? Are you anti-vax? And listen, if you're doing that, you're putting poison into your body, and do you not know about the baby that died in 1970? And you know what? Be fully convinced in your own mind. you make that decision, and you'll have reasons for either side. Name the issue. You'll have great reasons. Some of them will be amazing spiritual reasoning. But I got to tell you, I have not found in the scripture, thou shalt not vax. Thou shalt vax. I haven't found those things. You get to make those decisions. And you should be convinced of what you do. But the moment you export it and tell others that they can't or that they must, you've crossed the line into legalism. And let me just say it straight up, you're in sin. Give the reasons. I'm not saying you shouldn't. Try to convince people, fine. But it's not a means of their righteousness, and they're allowed to be different. And if they're not, you've become more than God because God gave us freedom. You're saying, I have the right to take it away from you. Oh, heck no. None of us do. None of us do. In Brian's world, we all mountain bike together, and you better keep up. Fully convinced. And you never borrow convictions because it short circuits maturity. You learn, you pray, you grow, you consider. Know why you're doing what you're doing. My early days of the faith, I was convinced the King James was the only true Bible. And all others were polluted versions that watered down the truth of the King James. You know where I got that? From someone else. And then when I started learning, I realized, man, dude, that is probably one of the least reliable versions out there. Oh, if that offends you, I'm so sorry. Not really. But I found out that really it's one of the least. We've learned a whole lot since way back when, and God does not speak like Yoda. Strong in the Lord are you, Joshua? It's not there. It's okay if you want to read it. God bless you. You don't have to. You're free. Let's go further. The one observes the day. The one who does it observes it in honor of the Lord. Nothing wrong with a Sabbath keeper as long as it is convictional, not placed on others as a test of the faith. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. So someone restricts a day. Someone doesn't restrict but eats all the food. Someone abstains from certain foods. None of this is the issue. Here's the issue. Who's more spiritual in our test up here a little bit ago? God knows, because he alone knows the heart. And I could be right here in the middle at the coffee shop with my Christian friends, and I would never drink alcohol, and my heart can be full of envy and bitterness and unforgiveness and self-seeking. And I could be over here studying the Word and spending some time in prayer, and all of it is just like the Pharisee. I'm studying the Word so I can know more than someone else and win at an argument and memorize verses, and I'm praying, God, exalt me, and Lord, lay waste to all those other people. And I could be over here having a glass of wine and smoking a stogie like we know Donna does, listening to 38 Special, rocking into the night, and glorify God in all of it. Because God alone knows the heart. The issue is whether or not you glorify him in that. Do you do it to his honor? Because the scripture says whatever you eat, or whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And I think that fits. Don't tell anybody. A couple of years ago, our leadership went to a Foreigner concert at a casino. I'm still praying for them. I can't believe I got caught up in it. I feel bad. I was cold for them to do that to me as ice. Neither is more spiritual, right? The one who restricts a Sabbath day out of conviction is not more spiritual than the one who eats all the food in freedom based on conviction. Can you do it to the glory of God? That's the controller. In convictional areas, and man, I don't have time to go into this, but in convictional areas, what we seek is autarkia is the word. It's found in Philippians, and it means contentment. It means there's nothing I have outside of Christ. You want to have true freedom? Nothing I have outside of Christ. And if he allows me to have it, I'll do it to his glory. If he restricts it, I ain't missing nothing, so I got Jesus, and I'm living according to his desire for me to his glory. Contentment, man. That's the key to being able to have and to enjoy. I didn't have to have it. God gave it. And if God said no, I say, well, thank you that Jesus is more than enough. That's good as well. I'm not more spiritual because I don't partake. The question in areas of conviction is not what you do, but why you do it, and that's why we pray through it. Debatable issues cease to be worthy of debate when Christ is our focus and our King is honored. Now, these next couple of verses I actually took out of the Message version. It's a paraphrase. I don't do that very often, but I like the way they put it. None of us are permitted to insist on our own way in these matters. It is God we are answerable to, not each other, in convictional areas, in gray areas. It's God we answer to, not each other. Let's go one step further. That's why Jesus lived and died and then lived again, to free us from the petty tyrannies of each other. Oh, you need to know you're in a church at one of our core, like, Hill will die on values is freedom. In areas the Bible doesn't speak about, doesn't specifically give commands, make your own decisions, because that's how you mature and grow, and that's what a disciple does. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Why do you despise your brother? We will all stand at the before the judgment seat of God. So the convictional Christian, tempted to see as nothing the weaker in the faith, the weaker brother, weaker Christian, tempted to be judge over those who partake. And he says, you don't get to do that. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. Every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give account of himself to God. This is why we pray through these things. If I adopt your convictions, I may wind up not doing something God would have given me great pleasure and enjoyment into his glory. Or I may wind up doing something God had wanted me to restrict for his glory. This is why we pray, because we answer to him one day. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. That is, by the way, in either direction. I don't get to stop the one and make him feel guilty for partaking. I don't get to try to induce the one who says I can't and doesn't know any better to do. Never do that. For I know and I'm persuaded in the Lord Jesus. Listen, I want you to catch this. Remember, the context is meat offered to idols, polluted wine, and Sabbath days. Did you see what Paul just said? Nothing is unclean in itself. He's teaching truth because it is not love to leave a weaker brother weaker. You don't avoid truth because you may offend them. You teach them truth and then allow them to make their own choices. Nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it is unclean. It is not love to leave the weaker brother weaker. It is not faithful to our mandate to leave them that way. We're supposed to make disciples. Disciples get to make up their own minds in these areas. Once convictions have developed, it is love to respect their convictions rather than pester, mock, and make fun of. Or let me put it another way. God has not called us to terraform our environment to make it comfortable for us so that everybody has the same convictions we do. They can be different, and it's okay. It really is. Debatable issues cease to be worthy of debate when Christ is our focus and our King is honored. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you're no longer walking in love, but by what you eat, you do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. While they are being taught, there are times that you restrain your freedom and you carry a cross. Oh, but man, I really want to. You know what? You're around a weaker brother. Let him get taught first. Restrict your freedom. Oh, but man, I just really enjoy. You know what? It's not about what you enjoy. Take care of your weaker brother. Don't make him stumble. You're not supposed to do that. If you have liberty, keep it to yourself in that moment. So don't let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. It's good that you can do that. But of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And if you say, yeah, but I just really enjoy and I do that to God's glory, there's nothing wrong with it. Cool, but there may be times that you carry a cross. And God says, I'll more than meet your needs for joy and peace in those moments. You may restrain your freedom. I pastored a biker church for a time, and there was a new couple with us, and I didn't know what their liberties were. And we had gone to a funeral for the friend of one of our guys. And we were in Blacksburg, and we headed to Hokie House in Blacksburg. Hokie House in Blacksburg has amazing burgers and ice-cold beer. I wanted both. I didn't know the couple. Brian's drinking a glass of water with a burger and smiling. I really would have rather, on that hot day after riding a motorcycle, had the brew. But I don't know this couple, and I don't know what their liberties are. It's not a pat on the back. It wasn't, oh man, I'm such a martyr, I didn't have a beer. That's ridiculous. What I would have wanted, though, could have destroyed their faith, and I didn't know them well enough to know. I found out later whether I could or I couldn't, but there are times you restrict your freedom. There's nothing wrong with that. The kingdom of God is greater than your freedoms in convictional areas. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. Yeah, restrict it if you need to, and never steal it from others, both sides. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Debatable areas. If it makes me uncomfortable, if I wouldn't do it, if it bothers me, I apply the principles of Scripture in a different way. This is not mine to judge. Seek peace and encouragement, even when I don't like it. Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Indeed, everything is clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. By the way, if you know Scripture, you'll remember Paul saying, if eating meat will cause my brother to stumble, I will never again eat meat. And some of you say, see, Paul was a vegetarian. So you need to be like Paul. You need to not have that freedom to drink that beer. You need to not have the freedom to listen to that music. You need to not have that freedom to, hold on. This is the same Paul who said, yeah, but when I'm with the Jews, I'm like a Jew. I'm kosher. When I'm with those without the law, I'm like one without the law. Not without law towards Christ, but without the law. I ain't kosher when I'm with them. I'm trying to reach them. In other words, if it would make him stumble, I won't eat it. But when I'm around somebody else, man, that's fine. I have that freedom. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. And don't tempt someone to engage in something without faith. Whoever doubts, check this out, whoever doubts, in freedom areas, whoever doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. That's why you pray through it, and that's why you teach the weaker so that they're not tempted to do what they don't know they have the freedom to do, and therefore it becomes sin for them. So who's more spiritual of our three up here? Who cares? God knows their hearts. You don't. I don't. The real question is this: how am I living out the truth of the gospel that sets us free in my own life? Can I glorify God in everything I do? And that's the test. And nobody else gets to say, I don't see how you can glorify God watching secular TV. They don't get to do that. You get to make that decision. They don't get to do that. I don't see how you can glorify God dressing casual in the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're in the house of God. Dress up. Dude, if God's impressed by the fabric on my body, I've got a really tiny God. Right? You don't get to steal freedom. The issue is, can I glorify God in all things? In all things. There's your test. By the way, if you grew up like I did, or you came to know Christ like I did, tell me about the Christianity that you've rejected if it has upset you. And you said, I've had enough of church. Tell me about that. I may not believe in that one either. If all I'd ever seen of the faith was that church I came to know Christ in, by now I think I would have walked away. And so if you have not heard of the freedom we have, and these things are pushing you a bit, probably more of the folks that are watching right now, Facebook Live, if you're getting pushed a little bit, can I just tell you, there's greater freedom than what you know. If you've heard that you can't and you must, and please, let that stuff go. Seek God in the Scriptures. What it says do, do. What it says don't do, don't do. And in the convictional areas, pray through them. You've got greater freedom. And if you've rejected church because you've heard you can't and you must and this rule and that, please consider the faith. Jesus is much greater than that, and he died to set us free. The Bible says it is for freedom that Christ set us free. Stand fast and don't be entangled again by a yoke of slavery. He came to set you free. I need to stop here. We've hit a whole lot of things.